Welcome to another special edition of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I'm David Bernstein, the producer and host of the Fredcast, an internet audio program about cycling available each week at www.thefredcast.com. Today I'll be bringing you yet another special edition of the show featuring even more content from this year's League of American Bicyclists National Bike Summit. In this excerpt from the Bike Summit, you'll hear from the president of Ceres Cycling Group, Chris Fortune. Chris gave a speech to the lunchtime crowd of over 400 attendees, and his speech was on the subject of advocacy from the perspective of a cycling industry manufacturer and supplier. Chris is a former president of Bikes Belong, a national coalition of bicycle suppliers and retailers working together to put more people on bikes more often. Bikes Belong was also the highest level co-sponsor of this year's Bike Summit. Now, the first voice you'll hear will be Andy Clark, the executive director of the League of American Bicyclists. And following Andy is the current president of Bikes Belong, a name that should sound familiar, Mr. Kozo Shimano. And he'll introduce Chris Fortune. Now be sure to stay tuned for all of Chris's speech so that you don't miss his very special guest. I guarantee that this is someone from whom you will all want to hear. And speaking of that special guest, I've chosen to include his question and answer session, but please understand, none of the questioners had a microphone, so they can be a bit hard to hear, but I think you'll want to hear our special guest's answers to those questions. So, without further introductory words from me, here are Andy Clark, Kozo Shimano, Chris Fortune, and their very special guest. Enjoy.
It's my great pleasure to introduce Kozo Shimano to you, a man who actually really needs no introduction and is currently the president of the Bikes Belong Coalition, and he's going to introduce our next speaker, Kozo Shimano.
Well, thank you, Andy. I'd like to first start off by congratulating all of you here, because what you've accomplished is you've been able to combine your passion for cycling with a goal of leaving a legacy. All of your efforts will mean that future generations will have places to ride, be it on bike paths, bike trails. With the League, Bikes Belong, IMBA, and other organizations have been working together to provide the following three things. Making sure that places to ride are established. And then informing the general public where these places are to ride. And another important factor is one that the League is greatly involved in, is that we're showing people how to ride properly. This is one of those things that most people will probably not admit, that they don't know how to ride a bike. Most people assume it's like walking. If you can walk, you can ride a bike. But it's not that easy. And there are rules and regulations that you have to follow on the streets. And that's what the League does. And I, too, have made a personal commitment to leaving this legacy as I have stepped down from being president of Shimano American to take on more of a corporate role in advocacy and government relations. So what is the next step for all of us here? It's not that everyone should replace their cars with bicycles. I can't see that happening in the near future. But what I can envision is that cyclists are accepted as part of the transportation equation. It's very similar to what I would imagine is the right to bear arms or the right to life. Those are topics that are hotly debated everywhere. They're both government regulated. Now, if you can imagine, wouldn't it be great to have cycling issues discussed at that level? Now, I'm making a bold statement here in that I don't think we can convert everyone to ride bikes. That may not happen in our lifetime. But what we can do is to have everyone that we talk to accept the fact that cyclists have a right to be on roads, trails, and paths. This should be the legacy of our generation. Now, our next speaker, he has epitomized someone that has taken on the challenge and commitment of leaving this legacy. He is a consummate businessman. Chris and his wife had purchased a company called Graber Products, a company known just for making bike carriers. And from that, they have created a new company called Sarah Cycling Group and a bicycle culture within that company, a family culture that has the corporate motto of "We bring cycling to life." Chris is also strongly involved in charitable organizations and in advocacy activities, both in the state and federal level. And he's also been recognized by various organizations within the bike industry and within the community that he lives in. So it is my honor to present to you Chris Fortune.
Welcome. Is the slides ready to go here? Greetings from Madison, Wisconsin. We're the home of the best cycling in the world. Jay Graves may, where's Jay at? Jay may disagree with this, but we're the cycling capital of the world in Madison, Wisconsin. And home to the Sarah Cycling Group. But as Koza was talking about, "We bring the power of cycling to life" is our tagline, but it also applies to everybody here. Because when I look at "We bring the power of cycling to life," it's all about what we're doing here today. We're all interested in making it happen. And today it's all about getting connected within this group here. Can I see the hands of all the advocates here that are here today? Could you all raise your hands? Can you look at this crowd here? You guys are the ones that are getting it done for all of us. If it wasn't for you and the daily work that you do, we wouldn't be where we are today. Can we give these people a round of applause? We have a long heritage of advocacy work that we've done, and it really started with my dad back in the 90s, and that's kind of a list of some of the stuff we've been involved in. But with Bikes Belong, I personally have been inspired by the great leaders of Bikes Belong and the remarkable work they've done. With latest with Koza, who just got up there and spoke, and what great work he's done and what he's done for the organization, the strategic relationship he's building with Interbike, bringing Pacific Bikes on board, he's done a wonderful job for the organization. Bill Fry, who is no longer with the organization, but under his leadership, we were fortunate to bring Tim Blumenthal, thank you, Tim, on board. And before that, John Burke, during his stint as president of Bikes Belong, carried the organization on his back. And if it wasn't for John, we wouldn't be here today. He was absolutely incredible, the dedication and the commitment he made to the organization. And it was like he was working two jobs, right, John? It was absolutely amazing. In 2005, we won an award from the federal government of $4.5 billion. Which is a lot of money. But last year when we went to the White House, we were told that the battle is at the state and local level. It's not at the federal level. And so In making the connection here today, I'm going to talk about what we have going on in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm fortunate to be the chairman of the Governor's Bicycle Coordinating Council. And on that council, we have state legislators, state governments. We have five different secretaries that are represented on the council. The Bike Fed's on there, and I'm a citizen member that's represented there. And our goal is making Wisconsin a bike-friendly state. We talk about the bicycle-friendly community, but my goal, and talking to Tim and talking to Andy, is how do we become a bicycle-friendly state? Under the directive from the governor, our goal is to unify the state agencies, encouraging the use of the bicycle as a form of transportation and recreation, as a lifelong activity from childhood to adulthood. And this has really given me a window into state government that's really important, because I understand what's going on behind the scenes. Our challenges in this council is we have limited time of staff, budget cuts, we're competing with ATV and snowmobile advocates, the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, and then Complete Streets. When we went through the process to determine the strategy, we put together a SWOT analysis for all the different departments that I'm involved with. This is an example of what we did for the Department of Transportation. And the SWOT analysis is looking at the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and threats that each department is facing. And what I'm going to go through today is each of the different departments. I'm going to break it down, and we're going to talk about some of the initiatives that we put in place and some of the threats that we're facing. With the Department of Transportation, some of the initiatives may seem small, but they're significant. Starting with training courses for law enforcement personnel, educating motorists, educating new drivers, and promotion for increased state funding. We also have them supporting the new Safe Routes to School program. Now, Governor Doyle allowed us to put together a bicycle impact study, an economic impact study, and Chuck Strausser from the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin, where's Chuck at? Would you please stand up, Chuck? Now, Chuck was personally put this thing together. He spent over 500 hours himself doing this. So if anybody wants to figure out how Chuck did this, an incredible job in what he did, but he put this economic impact study together. The importance of the economic impact study, the problem with the states, money talks. And if you can't show the economic significance of bicycling, you can't get the ear of state legislators. The threat that we're facing with the DOT is the pirating of funding. States have the discretion over which categories they choose to fund. Money not used for transportation enhancements goes to other funding categories, other highway funding categories. Now, this is an example of what the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association is doing in a lobbying effort in the state of Wisconsin. During the session, they spent $352,000 and almost 2,000 man hours in lobbying for their initiatives. So that's what we're facing on the state level. Now, when it comes to the Department of Health and Family Services, we're focusing on healthy living through physical activity and bicycling. We want to educate the medical community on health benefits of cycling. And we want doctors to prescribe cycling as an activity. Now, when it comes to the Department of Natural Resources, some of the initiatives are converting newly purchased state-owned trails. We have 150 miles of rails that we want to convert to trails. We want to market trails for tourism, market trails for the counties and the communities. The threats, this is a big threat for us, and maybe you don't realize it in the areas you live in, but in Wisconsin we have ATV and snowmobile users. Scott Hassett of the Department of Natural Resources, he's the secretary there, held a trails group meeting, and Polaris was the first one to show up. They're organized, they know their user groups, they collect fees. Polaris as a company is $1.9 billion in sales, and they help fund user groups. The sad part is 40 ATVers showed up at the Badger Trail planning meeting, and they elected themselves to the board of directors. Now, when it comes to the Department of Tourism, we got some great things going on. They're providing marketing and bid fee grants for events. They're promoting bicycling as ecotourism, a component of Travel Green Wisconsin. And this is another threat. It's all about money. If the state doesn't realize the benefit of cycling from a tourism standpoint, then they won't put the funds toward those different things that are needed. So we have no way to identify who is a bicycling tourist. So we need funding for research to ensure the cyclist gets priority at the state level. Now, when it comes to the Department of Public Instruction, our goal there is to educate all students on safe bicycling practices and health virtues of cycling. As we know, kids are not cycling today. So we put together a poster contest with the fifth graders in Wisconsin as a way to kind of energize them so they can look at the environment that they're living in. And it was a Kids for Kids program. And this is the example. This is a winner. It was at the fifth grade level, and this is who won the contest. But it's a fun thing, and she had a lot of fun doing it, and she got the lights on the bike, and she got the helmets, she got the bike shoes, and she noticed she got one thing right. It's bicycle-friendly Wisconsin. And if you're going to ride at night, you need your bike lights or reflectors. And we're going to run that contest again. And one of the things we're very, very fortunate about is we have a representative, Black, who is a cycling enthusiast, and he's very, very important to us because when he calls a meeting, the department secretaries come to his office to meet. And so he's very involved in cycling. He loves his bike. He sees the value of cycling, and he's been very, very important to us. Recently, we had a meeting in his office with the DNR and the Department of Tourism. One of them wasn't too happy to be there, but they still showed up. And what can you do? Size does not matter. Everyone can make the contribution. The goal is to create a strong local, state, and user groups. Get involved with advisory boards. Build an army. The cycling enthusiasts, the recreational riders, and the teams. Support elected officials. Write a check. If you write a check to the elected officials, when you make the call, they'll call you back or they'll answer the phone. These are the retailers that are here today. We're very, very fortunate that we have some of the top bicycle shops in the country that are here today. Would you guys please stand up so the advocates can see them? If you get a chance later, talk to them because they get it. They're really the ones that are creating the cycling center of their community in terms of advocacy. When you sat down today, everybody had a little brochure that the Bikes Belong put together. It's a bicycle toolkit for dealers. So if you have a local dealer that you want to take this to and sit down and talk to them on how they can create the Center for Cycling in their community, I'm sure they'll be glad to listen to you because they have a vested interest in ensuring the success of this. So this is an example of that. In addition, I'm going to talk about what we do as a fundraiser in Madison. We support the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. They do some great work in promoting legislation, defending programs, appearing at hearings, promoting instruction for both youth and adult, and they are the voice of the cyclist. We have done a fundraiser for 3 years. We're going to do it again this year, and if we don't do it, who will? We're very fortunate that we have Heath Fawson. Heath, stand up. With Saris, he's one of among 100 others of the company that all help in contributing to the success of this event. Thanks, Heath. Happy birthday. This is a kind of an outline of the attendance and the funds that we've raised the last 3 years. And we're able to set funds aside and hired a lobbyist and funded that school poster contest with the money that we raised. This is an example of what we did last year. We had over 600 people coming together for this event. But it's a community event. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it alone. We had local government participate in this, and it was very important to have local government there, but because they could see all the cyclists there, all the excitement that we raised, and all the enthusiasm we had for what was going on. We had the mayor of Madison there. We had Dane County Commissioner and also the Secretary of Commerce that helped. We also had industry contribute to, for silent auctions, and there's a list of some of them. And finally, we were fortunate enough to have Floyd Landis come and join us. Floyd was there two out of the last 3 years, and it's really important to have an icon of industry that came and supported the event. And I was very blessed to have him with me during these last two out of the three, and I'm very blessed to have him with me here today. Would you please welcome Floyd Landis?
Guys, thank you for that. Thanks to the League of American Bicyclists and Bikes Belong for inviting me down here today. I've known Chris Fortune for quite some time, and I'm sure that by now you guys realize that you can't have a better guy to be on your side, a more passionate guy. I know that there's a few things that he cares about in his life, and children and bicycles are on the top of that list. So you most certainly have a wonderful spokesman there. I've been a lot of places and seen a lot of things now, and I've come to realize that not every child has the same obstacles to deal with when riding their bicycle as I may have when I was a kid. There's not too many places you can go where you have to worry about horse and buggies, but I have seen some cities that are more bicycle friendly than others, and it's clear that it's people like you guys who are doing your part to change your part in the world. And you heard from the mayor earlier, and if we could get some more people like him involved in other cities, it'd be a wonderful thing. I've, like I said, had the experience of seeing a lot of different places. I live now in Southern California, and we've got pretty good bike paths there and pretty good places to ride your bike, but there's places that need a lot more work. I don't know if Chris is responsible for it, but Madison happens to be one of the better places to ride your bike. I would, if I had the choice, change the weather, but that's not my I'll leave that to him. That's his next project. But anyway, I know what it's like to fight for something that you believe in and to work hard for a goal. And I hope that the energy you guys are putting into this and the effort you put into it makes a difference, and I'm sure it will. And I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Chris, come up here, would you, Chris Fortune? Many of you who've been to summits before, we have an industry advocacy award that we give out each year, and we just thought it might be appropriate, given the story you've just told us about Saris, to recognize your contribution to bicycle advocacy. And so we do have an award for you, and we really appreciate your contribution. I hope it's under here. Chris Fortune, Saris Cycling Group, on the occasion of the National Bike Summit, congratulations on this Bicycle Leadership Award. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you bringing your friend Floyd with you. And there you go. Thank you.
Good to see you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to take any questions? Do you want to do it?
Go ahead and just announce it. I'll do it. That's easier than me doing it.
Got me back, so sorry about that. Floyd's willing to take a few questions if anybody has a question or two that they would like to ask. We want to talk about, so just kind of the questions should pertain more to his experience maybe growing up as a cyclist or...
Well, in the interest of an honest answer, I'll say I don't know. But I'll look into it. No, I'd love to. When is it?
Chris? September
2nd. All right, I'll make a note on my schedule.
Can you talk about growing up in Lancaster?
Sure.
Floyd, do you recall how old you are when you first started getting into bikes and what inspired you to start racing?
I got it. Obviously, like a lot of kids, I got a BMX bike when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And that was more just entertainment. I grew up without a television and video games, and I think that probably was a good thing. So I spent more time on it than most people, but I didn't get seriously interested in racing and become obsessed with it until I was about 16 years old. But I did, not to make light of it, I do feel fortunate having grown up where I did, where it was safe to go ride your bike on the street anytime. And I know that's a privilege that a lot of kids don't have, and for that I really am thankful. I have enough trouble getting myself around town these days, but no, I have a couple bikes that I use just to ride down to the coffee shop, a BMX bike, and then I have another, well, I have a brother-in-law who lives with me, who's 18 years old, and he brings bikes by now and then, and they're often some kind of silver thing with lots of spokes and a velvet seat, so I look good on that. That's my favorite one.
Boyd, how'd you get started into mountain biking, and where's your favorite place to ride?
I got into mountain biking when I was about 15 years old. I got my first mountain bike. It was a Huffy. I don't know if you can still get those or not. Haven't looked into it lately. But directly after that, when I was about 17, I got a Marin, I think. And I got it, the first one I got, just because it was a form of transportation. A friend of mine who lived about a mile away, he and I would spend a lot of time together and go fishing and things like that. And so that was the purpose of the bike, but then we realized that fishing wasn't that much fun, and so we just rode our bikes around. I won't say, I said that just for Kozo here. No, I haven't done much fishing since then, but hopefully I'll get back to that. And so, yeah, it kind of progressed from there, from just a means of getting around to hang out with your friends to that was the activity of choice. And as far as where my favorite place is to ride, the last few years I haven't done a whole lot of mountain biking. I had the problem with my hip, and I was afraid of falling on it or doing something that would cause it more problems than I already had, and haven't done much, but I have some very good mountain biking where I live in Riverside County in Southern California, but it's hard to beat where I grew up in Pennsylvania and the East Coast and Vermont and the trails like that. I would pick that if I had to choose. Yeah, go ahead. I appreciate it. We'll have to put a book out here, and you guys can write down where I need to be and when. I'll just call that my schedule. Yeah, go ahead.
You kind of just spoke to this, but what would you say to kids today to get them to put down the remote and get out on their bikes?
Well, it's not easy because I've seen some of those video games. They look like fun. But I don't spend much time playing them. But really, I think the incentive is for the adults around them to insist that they do something outside. And if they have a bicycle and a place to ride it, it goes a long way. And I think it is the first choice of things to do if you're outside and you have the means and the friends that are also doing it. It helps. These questions are great. I'm going to stay here all day. My hip's doing well. I had a what's called a resurfacing procedure. It's not unlike a total hip replacement, but it takes away a little less bone on the femoral side. I had it done in the end of September. And following about two months of therapy, it's back to better than it was before I broke it, really. And that problem's solved. I did, yeah, and I was really was disappointed. I would like to have been there, and it was unfortunate. I had a surgeon from one of the surgeons who developed it. Dr. Ronan Tracy from England flew over to do it, and he happened to be in San Diego, and my choice was either to do it then or to fly to England to do it, and I really would rather have been at home after the surgery than been there. So unfortunately I missed it, but I'll be back.
We're going to get your schedule moving, right? Yeah.
Apparently I already have a schedule, but you guys...
I know there's a group of people back here from the Floyd Fairness Fund somewhere who are watching the minutes tick by, and you have to go meet the champion cyclist on the hill, Congressman Oberstar. So I think we better get you to that.
Thank you guys very much, and I appreciate it.
And of course, that was Chris Fortune from Sarah Cycling Group. He's the president of Sarah Cycling Group, and his special guest, Mr. Floyd Landis, the winner of the 2006 Tour de France, Tour de California, oh, and a few other races as well. I hope you enjoyed that presentation as much as I enjoyed being there and listening to those great speakers, Andy Clark included, Kozo Shimano also. What an amazing event the National Bike Summit is, and something that I strongly encourage you to consider attending next year if you have any interest at all in cycling advocacy and all of these amazing things that Bikes Belong and the League of American Bicyclists tackle on our behalf every single year. Thanks to each of them for allowing me to bring that to you. Thanks also to Cambria Bicycle Outfitter for sponsoring the Fredcast. You can find out more information on Cambria Bike as well as the special offer this month available just for Fredcast listeners by going to www.thefredcast.com and clicking on the CBO link on the left-hand side of the page. Until our next show, if you'd like to send me an email with comments about this or any other show, please do so. It's thefredcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to the Fredcast. And we will see you next time. Until then, enjoy the ride.